So, as this is coming out, I believe it's like pretty close to my birthday. And
it is pretty close. What's up, Aquarius season? Hey,
all you Aquarians. Anyway, I wanted to tell you.
Shout out to you, Kid Cudi and Harry Styles. I'm sorry, I'll leave now. Okay.
There's a good little pack of us, including Rob Thomas, who is not the most impressive Aquarius, but we share a birthday.
Oh, Rob! Wait, I didn't know you shared a birthday. Wow,
oh, yeah.
That feels real.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think he's probably like 8 years older than us.
She said, I don't know if I've ever been good enough. I'm a little bit thirsty.
So, this airs, I am probably...
with Rob Thomas celebrating your birthday. Go ahead.
Unpacking and tinkering with my splurge item that my girlfriend and I purchased kind of for my birthday. She
good
paid,
excuse, we'll say.
Is it, yeah, an excuse because these are somewhat ridiculous items. But I thought you would be interested to know that we've taken our prepper lifestyling. This is to
okay.
to another place.
I get nervous when you guys like prep really hard anxiety levels in your house, but go on.
It's prepper adjacent, but I think it's actually just like a very fun hobby that I'm about to explore.
Sounds like a prepper trying to justify their purchases, but go ahead.
But
powdered food? Okay.
A hydroponic system for inside and...
Wait, what is that even?
So
water something?
It's like a series of PVC pipes like that I will assemble together. Probably as you're listening to this, I'm hard at work assembling these pipes. And you grow plants in them with just water and nutrients. Have you ever been on the ride The Land at Disney World?
I've never been to any of the Disney theme parks. You know this.
Well, if anyone's been to Epcot and they went on that boat ride in The Land by the food court, that's through a hydroponic garden. And it's basically just like a bunch of plants like growing in water or air.
I have
hanging.
An aero garden in my kitchen where I grow herbs in water.
It's very, very similar, except this will have like a pump and a timer and a little system. And
is it tall or is it wide?
Both. It's like about the size of a desk and will come up like to my chest. It has three levels.
That's tight.
It holds 108.
Are you gonna grow vegetation? I'm mm-hmm. sorry, I'm excited.
We're growing like a lot of lettuce,
this isn't
tomatoes.
This is fucking cool.
Totally. But so we're just like, we're noticing that like produce is getting like shittier and shittier, like even in California where it's
true.
Like readily available. And we already grow some like on our patio in pots. And I don't know how, but just like recently we became interested in hydroponic growing and been learning about it. And we should be able to like grow enough lettuces and stuff to like just make salads like from what we've grown every week. And so that's pretty exciting. And then we also bought a solar powered generator that we can power the pump with and also offset our electricity costs or use it in times of no power.
Wow.
I'm pretty stoked about it. It's like a fully off the grid, like little vegetable system.
I'm honestly very stoked about this. I think it's super cool.
Thank you.
I've looked at some really bougie versions of this with like aspirations to like grow lettuces. And like I tried my outdoor urban garden life and like raised beds for the first time last year and like continue to like hope to carry that on. But like, I mean, go ham, cousin. Like I'm very excited about this and I love that you're doing it. And I also just like want to, you know, come in full stop as just an advocate for you, all other Aquarians at this time and anyone else who needs this advice. I just couldn't advocate for buying yourself a birthday present more.
Yeah. And I also decided that this is what I wanted to, one of the things I wanted to make at least like 12 hours to do on my birthday weekend. So hopefully by the time it's happening, all the seedlings are hatched and they're ready to go into their little cups and have the nutrient water flush around them. I hope.
Truly, full stop, this thrills me.
Thank you. I'll send you pictures.
Oh, okay. Maybe we'll post them on something for you too, dear listener.
If anyone cares about my hydroponic garden.
Listen, if you care about Jamie's hydro station and also don't think that it's like fucking prepper adjacent. This time I actually feel fine about it. I get nervous about the shit they keep in the trunk of their
car. Totally.
But that's a story for another time.
But it came in use the other day when we thought we were going to have to evacuate for a tsunami. We were like, thank God for this backpack. Takes one moment to prepare. Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This? Yes.
That's the ticket.
And remember, the greatest myth about the moon is that America went there in Apollo 11. Good night. Yes. Good night.
Next week on Blood Magic Menstruation, the podcast.
I love that we just Me Too'd God.
It's franchising our platform. We're franchising it, okay?
They're going to break your legs and feed you to the sharks.
Yeah, people don't care how many times Dan Brown says that book was a work of fiction. I'm saying.
Well, we've brought it back to blood magic somehow.
I hope you finger blast every time you listen to this podcast. That's just a light good suggestion. Pairs well with finger blasting. Okay?
We were ready. It was so easy. Took the pressure off the tsunami moment.
Welcome. Why Are You Like This is the weekly podcast where we try to quell or calm some of Jamie's prepper tendencies.
Or stay ready because there's only three routes out of Los Angeles.
I mean, you are digging a trench of seeming just fully and, you know, on one. Wow. Okay. Catch her late night on syndicated television.
You
when
wish
we're not
syndicated.
Yeah,
television.
I really do. This is our worst opening ever, and I'm loving it. Okay, when we're not dissecting these parts of prepping, okay? We're dissecting pseudoscience, real science, pop culture, just really whatever we're noodling on at any given time in order to determine why people are the way that they are. That is Jamie Ryan filling her car with, like, emergency equipment in Los Angeles.
And that's Austin Williams not ready with an emergency blanket in cold, cold Chicago.
I'm going to die here, bitch, okay?
You should keep one in your car. I know you don't drive that much, so it's, like, not relevant, though.
I've driven a lot more in these Rona times, and I'll tell you what I do keep in my car this time of year and my prepper tendencies. It's never bad to have a little cat litter and a snow shovel in case you get trapped somewhere, okay?
Oh, wow. That's good advice, yeah.
Advice we could maybe all enjoy if you live somewhere where it snows. Cat litter is an economical and great choice, especially if you have a cat. You could have sand too if you ever just need to dust your wheels. But I've used it before on my car and others.
To
and
get unstuck, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Get that traction.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about absorbent things like what they throw on throw up in elementary school. We're here to talk
absolutely
about something
not
else.
That weird sawdust, okay.
That peppermint sawdust.
You guys, we're really on one tonight. I mean, welcome to season 8.
We've already
eight.
Talked for like, an hour and a half.
I mean, we have. I mean, you didn't listen to that recording because it wasn't recorded.
It was the pre-party.
But we're enjoying ourselves. I'm actually drinking a little wine tonight, and I don't think I've consumed anything while we were recording in a while.
Yeah, I'm having beers, and I usually just stick to marijuana.
You know, so look at us. Look at us go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway.
Anyway, we're not talking about prepping or just anything that I don't, just anything in that nature or my snow tricks tonight. In fact, I'd like to throw it back to a season one trope and remind our OG listeners and maybe anyone who's new here that this is not a sex podcast
except
for when it
when
is.
When it is, yeah.
And tonight, this is a sex podcast.
It most certainly is. Yeah.
Listen, sexpisode, Why Are You Like This? It's one of my personal favorite versions of the show. And I'm true, full sincerity about that. It has been a fun space in which we sure have talked about in on quote sex episodes. We've talked about things that are a little further removed from our own sexuality, like bestiality, mm-hmm. like
further
object
removed.
Sexuality. Mm-hmm. We've also talked about things that are closer to our own sexuality, whether we're telling like dating and romantic tales, but also season one, we have an episode all about kinks and fetishes. I'm a big fan of that one. Mm-hmm. I think perhaps maybe, I mean, who's to know? This hasn't been flushed out. I'm just throwing things out there now. But I think we've talked, you know, loosely at different times about revisiting kinks and fetishes. So, mm-hmm. sweet listeners, if there is anything in that realm that you want to hear about, let us know, because I would be interested in talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All ears and all orifices about having a little bit of a sexpisode. But aside from sexpisodes being my favorite, I'm also bringing into this episode one of my absolute icons and
a polarizing figure.
Yes, exactly.
Deeply polarizing.
And who else could it be, if you've been paying attention, than our girl Gwyneth Paltrow? Okay? Like, you're like, what, Austin? How are you making this again about the sexual wine trips that you're taking with Gwyneth Paltrow? Shout out to another previous episode.
Oh, my God. But yeah.
All the throwbacks, the Easter eggs for our loyal listeners. But tonight, this evening, this morning, this afternoon, whenever you're listening to this podcast, we are throwing it back to a little series and doing a little bit of a deep dive on some specific research that was touched on in the Sex, Love, and Goop Netflix series that came out in late October of 2021. I'm a big fan of this series. It is the second Goop, you know, Netflix series. The first one was the Goop Lab. Mm-hmm. It, and if you haven't seen the Goop Lab, but you're a fan of Chelsea Handler, it's kind of like Goop's version Chelsea of like does. Chelsea Does.
Yeah, you're yeah. right. It was.
I felt like those shows were really energetically similar, and Chelsea Does is fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. And on the Goop Lab, on the Goop Lab, they do heroic doses of psilocybin, which again, this podcast, Why You Like This, have a psilocybin episode where I talk about that, also in tandem with some 60 Minutes stuff. But they also do things where like people who do those really intense, like Arctic polar plunges
Wim Hof.
For like some sort of, do that. They do a lot of interesting things, and I really enjoyed that series. But one of the episodes that got like a ton of hype and just like a big conversation around it was an episode that was, I think, called For Our Pleasure on the Goop Lab. And it was all about female sexuality. Mm-hmm. And it stirred a lot of interest and hype, and probably a way that, Jamie, you probably could appreciate even in ways that I couldn't, that on that episode, I'm serious, they showed several pictures. They were talking about how vaginas and clitorises are just like all different, and they showed a bunch of different pictures of women's genitalia. Mm-hmm. And for a ton of women, and this was a lot of what the conversation was about, and I shared in this moment, I was like, man, I have never seen this many vaginas, because I'm someone who hasn't had sex with a woman. And so not something I've spent a lot of intimate time with or any kind of, you know, looking. The only time I can think of also looking at pictures of vaginas online is when they were talking about Brazilian waxes on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And then my mom and I, this is when I was in high school, Googled like every different version of waxes and just looked at a bunch of bushes on Wikipedia together. And it was really funny and bonding. So
I remember that
out.
Time. Yeah.
My mom's a cool lady. Anyway, all of that said, people got like hyped on this and were just like, oh my God, like I thought I was weird, but like I had probably only seen like two vaginas in my whole life.
Or just porn. And then that's like something totally different.
I mean, I don't even know if you can count that. And I would say the same thing is true of like, you know, seeing a penis or anything else in porn, that it's like, it's an archetype. It's like seeing, you know, the face of an actress on a magazine. You know, it's like it's one specific thing at a specific time, and it's not quite true. Although, you know, porn gets better and better, and there's, you know, more female lensed things.
No, it's not all bad, but just as far as like being familiar with what other people's genitals look like, I think women classically like don't have like a great sense of like the diversity of genitals.
100%. And so this sparked so much interest that they were like, man, we should do a whole spinoff that's like about sexuality. And because Goop, like any other organization that we love in this country, you know, makes money, they also have done things where, you know, they've launched a couple vibrators. They've put a lot of, you know, emphasis on female sexuality, even more so in the last couple years. And well, a lot of people, I have plenty of space to talk shit about Goop, and I'm not here to fight with you, and nor do I have any desire to. But, you know, people are like, well, you shouldn't put jade eggs up your vagina or whatever. And listen,
it's just a personal choice.
I'm not over here putting, you know, a jade egg up my vagina, but I like that, if anything, we're even just talking about different choices or different things people could explore with their bodies, particularly bodies with vaginas. I'm into it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
no, totally.
All of that said, let me give you a little bit of the general gist on the sex, love, and Goop before we get into what we're going to get into, which is also another one of my favorite things we do on this podcast, because what I was really struck with on this series is there was a, you know, an individual will get into her business, who she is a little bit more, her practice, and her, like, personality typing, if you will, of an erotic blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
See love languages, see any other kind of personality mm-hmm. type test. And you know we love to talk about those on here. So, I mean, honestly, these are all of my favorite things. It's a sex
episode. It's an erotic personality test, yeah.
I get to talk about Gwyneth Paltrow. There's some sort of personality test involved, and I'm retelling television.
Damn.
You guys, this is me at my best, so buckle up, okay?
Wow. Wow, and I am going to make you do a courtship with me, because that will hit the same for me. That's right? That one where an adult woman takes on spiritual parents who help her date. Anyway, later.
Listen, you guys, that's coming down the pipeline. We're hyped about it. But for anybody who hasn't seen it yet, it's on Netflix if you want to. And I will say it's like pretty compelling television.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the whole series, and they're... plenty of things were practiced that I was like, I don't know if I would do this myself, but there was only one that I was like, I'm not that interested in seeing things about. Mm. More on that later. But
that
every other thing I was like, tell me more. I like need to know how this works. Mm-hmm. So
no, I was very fascinated as well. And I watched 2 episodes, just so you know where I'm at, but go on.
I love that. Yeah. And I think it's a total, you guys, it's like 45-ish minutes an episode. And I think there's a total of 6.
I think so.
Maybe 7? Yeah, something like that. But their little MO about Sex, Love, and Goop is that it was filmed to help anyone who is looking to create more moments really revolving around pleasure. And on Goop's website, you know, they preface it in saying, like, pleasure is self-interested. It's about you, what you want, what you need, and how you get more of it. It's everything we're taught is too frivolous to pursue seriously as adults. And yet, we experience genuine arousal, desire, and pleasure. And those are the moments we feel most connected and alive. And I like this blurb. I'm down for it. And that's what Sex, Love, and Goop is supposed to be about. Confirmed, 6 episodes. They have 5 different experts that guide you kind of through their own practices in whatever tools they use to break down, like, what gives folks pleasure, how to help explore that, how to help connect what you need and what you want. And they've kind of rounded up some different tools through that. I think the series is super compelling because I was just, like, so wildly struck by the vulnerability of so many of these couples. Like, not just, like, physically, but emotionally. Like, people just, like...
Totally.
I mean, people did things on camera that I'm like, wow, I just, like, I don't know that that's a thing I could do.
No, I thought the same thing. Yeah.
And a bunch of different experts, right? But the expert that has this erotic blueprint that we're going to talk about and that I was the most interested in also worked with my favorite couple on the whole series, which is Damon and Erica. And I'm like, I love them.
And they had extremely, he had really vulnerable time at the beginning of the second episode.
Damon, just a big fan of them. There was a lot of vulnerability and it was very cool. But
it was.
Enter Damon and Erica, and they're the couple that we see, like, the most of early on, and they are, like, I think he's in his early 40s.
Seems like, yeah.
And she's a little bit younger than him, but I think she's probably, like, in her 30s, like, early mid, something like that. And they work with this somatic sexologist and educator named Jaya, and Jaya Pergoop has spent the last 2 decades studying what turns people on. And over time, she developed something called the Erotic Blueprint, which is an arousal map that reveals your primary erotic language. So this feels very, to me, like love languages.
Oh, yeah. She's the Reverend Doctor of the sexual test.
100%. And in kind of her words, your erotic blueprint is a map to your own wiring and your own turn on. People seek different erotic languages, and we can learn how to speak any of them. So, Damon and Erica, one of the things they kind of come into this show with is thinking that they're a little mismatched sexually. Mm-hmm. You know, he says he's like
ready
a
to
bit
bang
more,
it out.
Yes, and he's like, I'm a little bit more experienced than she is.
He does say like, that I'm right away. Yeah,
he says that right away, and he feels like. I think he thinks he's a much more sexual person.
He does.
She is just like full stop.
Yes. Yes.
And as we go through this show, you will feel compelled that like, this is not true. Mm-mm. They are just speaking different languages. And like, Damon is definitely a very sexual person, but he gets in touch with some sides of his sexuality and like arousal that he didn't even know about himself. But like Erica is like, mm-hmm. go ahead, girl. She's very sexual. And
I'm very excited for them.
I just like, I love their love and I love them. Yeah. I was just like so into it. And it was cool to see because it made me think in the love languages vocabulary. So with love languages, you know, we've got gifts, we've got quality time, we've got words of affirmation, physical touch, and acts of service. And mm-hmm. with those five, you get a lot of people who it's like, oh, this person, you know, tells me how great I am all the time. But this person, you know, is like making this time or space, or somebody's like, oh, we spend all this time together. And the other person's like, but it's not quality mm-hmm. time. It's like these mismatches where people butt heads. And I feel like we've talked about kind of love language vocabulary so much that it's a little bit more ingrained and that people are like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, a little bit more normalized. And also just like relationship-able fodder is obviously less vulnerable and less taboo than talking about sex.
Totally. And when she started talking about this, I was like, first, like floored that it's taken this long to have any kind of just like basic typing sexual quiz. But then I was like,
yes,
of course it has. Of course it has.
Right.
That isn't just like, you're a top.
100%. Like, right. And we even talked mermaid. About that, I think, a little bit on episodes or like when we even had our guest episode with our friend Thomas talking about, mm-hmm. you know, living with HIV and the stigma there. There's
this was
this
more nuanced
weird
than a medical questionnaire.
100%. And like, I mean, you think about things like that he talked about, you know, how people asked him about his sexuality and that diagnosis. And it's like, oh my God, like, mm-hmm. it's so sterile,
It's sterile, but also graphic and coarse.
Yes, yes. And so,
somehow
I loved that this, like, brought some nuance, and I don't know how I would feel, like, in a room with Jaya doing what these folks were doing, because if I'm honest, I don't think I'm in a place where I am as in touch with my sexuality or my ability to talk to other people about it, maybe as some of these couples were. And I thought it was really compelling and cool. Mm-hmm. And it made me full stop just think about what we've said about any personality test that we've talked about on here, whether it's been Myers-Briggs, Enneagram, whatever, that one of the best things it does, whether you like completely buy into it or not, is that it can help us have better vocabulary mm-hmm. to articulate our needs. And I think we have made sex so frequently so taboo. Like people are, I mean, so many of us are like afraid to express what we want. We don't want to hurt people's feelings. We are afraid that like we're going to seem, you know, some sort of way mm-hmm. for expressing our own needs, especially, you know, cis women like talk about like the pussy shame of it all, you know? So mm-hmm. it's like, you know, it shouldn't even be about your own pleasure. It was exciting to me to see people feel comfortable enough being open and also expressing what they didn't know. And I think one of the things Jaya, our sexologist and educator, expressed in the first episode, and maybe even a little bit in the second, was how much people just aren't encouraged to not know about sex, like at any age, and how important she thought it was for people to like just be open to learning and exploring and like not knowing, and also that like just because something like you thought you knew with one partner doesn't mean that you know with like everyone you're with. And I just appreciated that.
No, I really appreciated, yeah, her take on, I don't know. I don't know if I would be comfortable in a room with her, but I really appreciated watching, and I thought she had like really good info. And I felt like the sessions were things that like would be amazing to do alone with a partner, but like,
yes,
I don't think I would be down to like have like, even in the first episode, and I don't know how it gets like toward the end of the series, but in the first episode, there's not any like genital touching in like the sessions. Like it's very much like on the skin, on the legs, like the man's chest, things like that. But like, I would not, I don't think, be comfortable doing that with a practitioner. But like, instructions to then do that with a partner, like that would be super cool. But that's basically like what this series is for everyone. Like everyone could do these sessions with their partner if they wanted.
Totally. And I think that was my takeaway, that I was like, I don't know if I'm at a place or ever will be. Never say never, in the words of Justin Bieber. Sure. Like, maybe someday. But it did make me feel like watching the show that I was like, okay, I feel like I have some better tools to articulate this. And I do feel like I would be somebody who would be like comfortable with a partner or by myself talking to a professional, like a real person, like one-on-one or, you know, two-on-one about this kind of thing, and then taking the physicality like independently. But the way that they like physically are like,
you would do the couch session, not the table session.
Yeah, exactly. I would sit on the couch and be like, let's talk about things that can't exist. But it was super cool to me and super impressive. And yeah, just like, people were really vulnerable. And I think one of the things I respected too is that was really called out and expressed throughout the entire show, is that the practitioner and Gwyneth Paltrow and her like hosting side of things was like, this is really vulnerable and people are being very brave. And like, I can't believe we've never seen this. But also like, of course we haven't, because this is really hard.
And that was like a special group of people to be like, I'll let you see this. Like Damon figured out like some parts of his sexuality he had no idea about, and there were blissful / I don't know what else breakthrough kind of tears. It was very intense. And he did that on camera, and then he talked about it on camera for a while after.
Yeah, he did, and he talked about how positive it was. We'll
and it
talk
like
more about
changed
Eric and Damon.
Yeah, like gender role stuff for him, pressures anyway. It was moving.
It was very moving. Like, there are
I had
parts
like Terry Crews
that,
feelings about it.
Oh, he does have a Terry Crews energy to him.
Like the way he was like letting go of, I feel like a lot of his assumptions about her sexuality and his own were so like gender related, and Jaya called some of that out. And I just kept thinking about like the prison of masculinity and how that's barred him from experiencing the nipple pleasure that he really could have been having.
100% I love it. Okay.
Yeah.
Ugh. We will keep talking about them because the show is beautiful framework for it. But let's talk a little bit more, and I'm going to get at this through a Q&A with Jaya, but let's talk a little bit more about what this whole erotic blueprint is, because she employs it with Damon and Erica, and we'll tell you about their types and how things kind of align, and we'll tell you about what the different types are. So let's get into it. Okay. So the question being, what the fuck is an erotic blueprint, right? So per Jaya, your erotic blueprint is a map to your own wiring and your own turn on. I like to think of it as mostly a language. I'm like, love language with you again. Okay. Your erotic blueprint is like your turn on language, your arousal language. The blueprint will either have positives or shadow sides to it, unconscious sides to it, and things that have charge around it. And we can move through those so we can enhance the positive, and we can release and heal the shadow aspects of the blueprint. And I really like the acknowledgement of like sexuality being complicated and not all like great all the time.
Now, especially since we never talk about it.
100%. So much shame, you know, past experiences that can color different things. It's just, I appreciate the expression of it. So Goop asked her, how did you create the erotic blueprint method? And she says, I've been a sexologist for over 2 decades now, going on 3. When the blueprints came out, it was through being with people. I'm a somatic sexologist, which basically means I look at the body from a holistic viewpoint. I worked with a lot of people in sexless relationships in the beginning of my career, and I started to notice patterns like, oh, well, this person isn't turned on the way this person is, or this person's body responds differently to this touch, and not everyone is the same. I felt like in our culture, we have this messaging of this is what sex looks like. This is how you're supposed to respond. What I was finding in my own personal clinical practice was that there wasn't the way people, that it wasn't the way people responded. There was no one-size-fits-all approach to arousal. And so I started to ask myself, what's the formula here? What's the pattern? What am I seeing? This person is turned on by not having direct touch to their genitals or to their body. This person over here loves that. This person over here is turned on by a slap to their inner thigh. Well, those are all completely different. And so it just started to reveal itself over time. So there are 5 erotic blueprints. And lucky for you, dear listener, Jamie and I have taken a quiz and we will tell you ours. But first, I'm going to reveal to you what these different types of erotic blueprints are. So the first is the sensual type. And this is someone who's turned on by all of their senses being ignited. This is someone who loves tastes, smell. They want to walk into a beautiful setting when they're coming into their erotic play. They bring the artistry. And so the superpower of sensual is that they have full body access to orgasmic pleasure through sensations. It isn't always a genital-focused orgasm. It could be something like somebody feeding you a delicious piece of chocolate while they lick the back of your knee, which, like, just shout out, you know?
I mean, that like makes me feel weird, which tells me just like that's not for me, but that's for other people. So cool.
So cool. The energetic type, second one here, is someone who is turned on by anticipation, space, tease, longing, yearning. You may be an energetic if you feel everything before the kiss happens. It's like, oh my God, we're going to kiss. We're going to kiss. Ah, that feeling. You are very, very sensitive, so it doesn't take much to turn you on. It's like dropping a pebble into water. If you drop the pebble into the water, the ripples will go out.
And can I want to say that in the episode, the way that Jaya explained energetic to Damon and Erica really helped me understand what it was. And she like pulled up her sleeve on her left arm and held her right hand over her arm and had Damon and Erica do the same thing. And she just got closer and closer without touching, like Reiki style, I guess, and explained that like when you can feel like the hairs stand up and like just that kind of space where like you're not touching, but like there's what she called like energetic play happening that like.
She called it the touch, like touching someone before you're touching
Yes,
them.
yes, yes, yes. And I don't feel like it really landed for me until she did that. And I did it with her and was like, okay,
I
cool,
love it.
cool. I get it now.
I love that like anticipatory like description, and that made a lot of sense to me as something that like is arousing. The next type is the sexual type. So the first type, to reiterate, was the sensual, and now we're going to the sexual. Okay? So the sexual type is someone who is turned on by what we think of as sex in our culture. So nudity, genitals, orgasms, penetration, these are some of the sexual loves. And the superpower of the sexual is that it usually turn on is pretty easy. So you can go from 0 to 60 very quickly. And it's not that there's a lack of depth, but there is a simplicity. It's like, I love this. This is what works. Let's do this. It's very straightforward in some ways. It's easier to access arousal through the genitals. And I think hearing that, the sexual style, it actually, in a way that other personality types have given me empathy and like teaser, like I'm not a sexual type. one of the things it did, I was like, oh, this gives me greater empathy for those moments that you have been with someone and you have been like, why mm-hmm. are you like, why did this get so horny so fast?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, yes. I'm like, how did we go from like nothing was happening to like you're trying to insert a finger in me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is like feels aggressively quick. And then what I feel like I understood from her way of describing this made me think of like apology languages when we talked about that, where I was like, oh, to this person, that like is sex or like mm-hmm. that is a turn on. Whereas I'm like, whoa, like, you know, I need a little bit more before that.
No,
you know?
Totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And but it gave me, I think, compassion or like greater understanding that I was like, oh, that's not necessarily like always like abrasive or like a total boundary cross. It's like that person got aroused much more quickly than I did and doesn't understand that I'm not there yet.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. And I feel like that's what was happening at the beginning for Damon and Erica before they learned more.
Mm-hmm. Yes, totally. So the kinky type is the next type here. And the kinky type is someone who is turned on by the taboo. And there are a couple different kinds of kinky types. So one is more psychological, where it's about power dynamics. And one is more sensation-based, where it's about the feeling of like ropes on their skin or impact play or intense sensation that arises. It's not necessarily what we think of as kink, though. It's that it what's taboo for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be like, culturally, we've deemed this inappropriate. It's, you know, how this feels to the individual.
Right. And it doesn't have to be BDSM. Someone could hate that, but still like score highest in kink.
Totally. And I think that was cool too to hear. And I think Jaya did a good job explaining
mm-hmm.
a lot of kink and like demonstrating it. And I'm going to, we can talk more about that as after I wrap this kind of next type. But I thought there was a lot in the show that made me think, okay, like this type is not just like whips and chains or something. Like mm-hmm. you're giving greater nuance to quote taboo.
Mm-hmm. Even the breakdown of psychological versus sensational. I don't think that I had ever thought about that in regards to kink at all.
Right. That somebody dividing could be into it. Power dynamics, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean like there's like a ball gag in your mouth.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
Yeah. So the final type here, the fifth and final, is the shapeshifter type. And that is somebody who's turned on by everything. You know, the sensual, the sexual, the kinky, the energetic types are turned on by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the superpower of the shapeshifter is that they can shapeshift to be kind of an amazing lover to anyone. And they can say like, oh, my partner is sensual. Like, all shapeshift to be sensual. And they're turned on by that.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt to me, too, like some of that shapeshifter energy is like maybe part of the turn on for that person is like the other person's pleasure.
Mm-hmm. I would guess that that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. But so if we talk about Damon and Erica, our beautiful archetypes that just truly, I mean, I really, if you watch the show, like they're delightful. We learn that Damon's number one type at the beginning is the sexual type. So that's the person like nudity, genitals, orgasm, penetration,
Scorpio
just like the
stuff.
Things we think of as, yeah, Scorpio shit. The things we think of as sex in our culture. And then we learn that Erica's number one type is kinky. So somebody turned on by the taboo. And we learned that Damon's lowest type was kinky.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was interesting as they were working through some of this stuff with Erica, and a lot of it, you go kinky, like then you have this moment where you're like whips and chains. And a lot of it was what they were doing was just like, she was laying on like a massage table on her stomach. And some of it was they just like touched her with like different objects.
Mm-hmm. That was quite a bit of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and she was really turned on by some of those.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because he, for some of those, was like, this is, he said, when Jaya asked him.
He said,
him,
this is
like,
work.
Yeah, he goes, this is work. I feel
I'm
like,
at
like
work
I just
right
like,
now.
Work here. Yeah. Yeah. He like described one of the things they used as like a shake weight. But then there were also things that he was, then they like progressed and used other things with, you know, just like touching her with different things. And he was like, oh, this is kind of hot.
Mm-hmm. So, and she drew his attention to goosebumps, mm-hmm. to tiny shifts in her physicality that he was not cueing into. And I think that that seemed like it helped him be more into it.
he was turned on by her being
exactly.
turned on.
Yes. Which that was the shift. Yes.
Yeah. But they felt like they were very mismatched going into this and like the sexual type, the kinky type. But then what became clear and what, you know, Jaya worked through is that Erica's like second highest type was energetic. So this is that person that like longing, the tease, the yearning, and what Jamie described with like the hand over your arm and like touching someone before you touch them. And then what we learned about Damon when it was his turn on the table working through thing is that he actually wasn't like high key sexual. He was like wildly energetic mm-hmm. and like sexual under that.
And he had a very intense time learning that on the table.
Yeah. I mean, like moved to tears in like a really beautiful, awesome way. And it was cool. She's like, well, this is great news for you. She's like, because you're both like very high energetically sexual people. And so there was this common ground, even though then there were some other things where she was like into a little bit of like the kink and mm-hmm. he was a little bit more sexual and just how those things fit together.
But there's such an access point for both of them. Like they could do something that has elements of like both kink and like energetic so that it is like more for everyone.
Yeah. And that was really cool. And I think if anything too, having somebody, you know, with Jaya for them, like being like, hey, like this is what kink means. And like, these are things that potentially could turn on your partner. And they certainly were like trying things that they had never explored before. And I think it became very clear that Erica was not this like female archetype that Damon had kind of ascribed to her of being mm-hmm. like, I'm way more sexual than she is. Like, she's not a very sexual person. They're like, no, Erica was like a hella sexual. We just
she
were
just
like
didn't really
not
have
doing
space
the right things
to explore it. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was very compelling and very cool. And I really recommend the watch of them specifically mm-hmm. on this show.
No, I agree.
So with that intel of all these different types, the sensual, the energetic, the sexual, the kinky, and the shapeshifter, I am curious, Jamie, mm-hmm. what are you?
Well, in true Enneagram 7 form, I am a shapeshifter.
I knew it!
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm very unsurprised by this.
Yeah.
Did you feel like, oh, of course?
Yeah. Yeah. Just because of, like, how all my other tests go. And because of, like, when I was answering the questions, like, a lot of them, like, I had to choose all of the above. And so then I was like, oh, that's probably gonna. But I wasn't like super familiar yet with the types because I took the test like after only watching half of the first episode and then I watched the rest. And so like I wasn't as familiar. And so when I got my type, I didn't even really know what they were called. But not surprised.
Which I like because that's how we took the apology language test. And we were both like, we don't know what they are. And I feel like our results through that were like very authentic.
Exactly. Like I wasn't trying for anything. I didn't know anything about them until after. But I wasn't surprised to get the one that was like, you can't choose and you want everything. Like, you know, variety pack kind of answer.
Yeah. Do you feel like that there is one of the other four that feels like it plays maybe a little higher for you? Or you're like, nah.
It's like pretty hard to say. I would say that I think sensual is probably pretty low. But okay. that yeah. everything else is really hard to rank.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I could rank anything else.
Do you have a guess for where I fit on the scale?
I think that either sensual or kink is at the top.
Oh.
And I don't know. I feel like, but then I can't have three at the top. I was going to say it could be energetic. I'm not really sure.
I know it's kind of fun because it's not something I feel like generally you could maybe guess about a friend because, like, you don't have that kind of relationship.
Except that mine's kind of easy to guess because it's, like,
I feel
that
like yours
one
was,
answer.
Oh, you just want everything all the time.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, ordering the variety pack, like, the app sampler, that's what's happening.
Totally. I am high-key sensual.
Okay, yeah.
And this does not surprise me at all. And this is, so this is the person who's like all of their senses and like taste and smell and like you want to walk into like a nice environment.
Music can be on
and yeah. And I feel like so much of sex for me is like the vibe, right? And like I really can't be somebody who, I feel like a lot of times, and this is where I'm like, oh, I feel like I have greater empathy for this now. I like struggle with being in partnership with someone who's more of the sexual type, and as someone who has dated like cis hetero men, like that feels like most of them, even if maybe
I think
they're
they
like Damon,
believe it's them.
Exactly. That like that's what maybe like the conditioning. And
exactly.
Maybe I've been conditioned to be a little more sensual. And if I explored my sexuality further in kind of this lens, that I would find there are some other things that rank higher for me. And it's interesting to hear you say kinky. And I wonder if that's like the psychological side where it's like about power dynamics, because that's something I'm like constantly worried about in the social aspects of my relationship.
That's why
but
I wondered if that was...
Yeah, and I feel like that's something that plays into like sexual relationships like in a fantastical way for me for sure. But like I don't think in a way that I've like fully
it's maybe not super important or yeah, I guess not fully explored.
Yeah, I like kind of wonder if it would be more important to me if I engaged in things that like allowed me to explore that more.
Maybe
you know?
You should dabble, yeah.
Maybe I should dabble. Mm-hmm. But being the sensual type doesn't surprise me at all, because I think anybody who knows me, like, in a non-sexual way, I'm, like, very about, like, setting the vibe. And, like, I really need, like, my environment to be a certain way. And, like, when it's not, I'm, like, not okay.
This aligns like, with both of our Myers-Briggs, by the way.
Which I love. And I think that's – it's interesting. It makes me wonder, like, oh, did she, like, also have some, like – other hands in the pots of like different personality quizzes or types, and that kind of factored in but in a beautiful way that feels like the Enneagram. And so a perfect pivot where
shadows?
Talk about on the Enneagram. Yes, what are the shadow sides for each type? Are you ready for this?
Yeah, did you identify with yours? And maybe we're getting to that.
We'll find out.
Okay.
The sensual shadow, the shadow side of the sensual is getting caught in your head. It's that everything in the room is not right. The pillow's crooked. I'm worried about my body. It's things that distract from arousal and full body erotic experience. And yeah, I identify with this. I think one of the questions I had the hardest time answering on this quiz asks you what you're thinking about during sex. There are four answers that are specific, and then, you know, the fifth one is like all of it, like generally equally. And the two that I was really torn between were like, I'm thinking about my genitals and my orgasm and like pleasure and like how attractive my partner is and like very like kind of visceral like sex things, which I think that's more sexual than sensual. But the other one that I was really torn between is that I'm actually like laundry listing through my to-do list, and I'm like getting stressed out about like things that are completely irrelevant to the situation.
That never happens to me. And I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
I mean, but
it's part of why I think sensual is maybe really low for me. Go on.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. And what I also could take to that, and I think it's like a good takeaway that I'm like, oh, like we are sexual creatures in all parts of our life, is like, that's like something, that's an issue I have in at all times.
Yeah. 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 No. Well, yeah, I mean,
I'm like worried about my to-do list and like if the room that I'm doing anything in is a mess, like at all times, that's a distraction to me.
Do you ever wear socks? I've read that helps with distracted thoughts.
I'm wearing socks right now.
No, during sex. I mean, apparently it helps with, anyway, I don't know.
That's interesting. I've read that socks are particularly good for women during sex because, or, you know, folks with vaginas, I guess, because we run, our body temperatures run lower than, you know, folks with penises, and which is why women are often like cold in office buildings because the temperatures are set by the men. So a lot of times people say, actually, particularly for women, but for all sorts of people, people find having cold feet at like in sex, like if you're or anytime you're naked or like not wearing, like sleeping, whatever, distracting. And that sex, a lot of people find it better regardless, because their feet, they're not distracted by having cold, literal cold feet during sex.
So. Yeah, this is literally what I'm talking about. Thank you for knowing that reference that I was vaguely alluding to.
100%, totally. So that said, let's skip to your shadow type, this shapeshifter shadow.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So for the shapeshifter, the shadow side is oftentimes that they're not fed. They feel like they're too much. Somebody somewhere in the past usually said something like, why can't you just be satisfied by this? Or why do you want more? And the shapeshifter loves more, 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 more. There's a hunger. I find sometimes that shapeshifters are starving because they're shapeshifting to please other people and not being fed themselves.
But listen, it all tastes delicious. And so it's like, how do I know what I really want?
Do you feel like you identify with that, though? Do you feel like you've ever felt like, man, like... like this person is being like, what's your deal? Like, calm down.
Yeah, I have experienced that. As far as like not feeling like fed though, I don't know if I really feel like that. Maybe I've felt like that before, but I feel like as I've become like more comfortable with like my own sexuality and like expressing that, like I feel
like asking for what you want, expressing
like that doesn't feel hard anymore. And so as far as like maybe the shadow being like that you never feel like fed or like satisfied, like it more feels like endless exploration to me, I think. Like there's just things I haven't experienced yet. It's not that I'm like chasing something or like withholding something. It's just like you know, it's infinite possibilities.
Infinite possibilities. Totally. I love that. I mean, that's real. So the other three shadows are, so the energetic shadow. So oftentimes people say to an energetic, oh, you're frigid. But it's just that there's so much sensation that they short circuit. Some of the shadow side is that they can short circuit very easily and shut down because it's just too much stimulation. If you're throwing giant boulders in the water over and over again, there's too much for the energetic. They just need a pebble. And that made me think about Damon and Erica, that I was like, oh, like energetic and kinky were like her top two. But like with the energetic being very high, she like I was like, oh, maybe where he's like, you're not that sexual, like you're not into this. Maybe it was like too much.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. She could be sexual with a much, much smaller touch from him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's energetic as well. And so I don't know.
But I don't think he knew he was energetic until the show.
He had no idea. No idea. Big pieces were unlocked. I feel like I identify with energetic and I didn't pay for this quiz. And dear listener, if you take the free version, you'll just get your main type with your shadow aspects and your superpowers. But I don't know for sure what my second type is, but now that we're talking more, I would say that energetic is probably pretty high because I do identify with like, although wanting...
You're someone who gets overstimulated in life and like
in
shuts
every
down.
Way.
Like, yeah, not just like I like pull sexuality out of it. And I think that's kind of cool to think about with this stuff because I'm like, yeah, this applies to other parts of my life.
Yeah, it's just like the way that my like... nerve system, neural. So what the fuck is that word? What's your nerve system? Nervous.
Your nervous system.
Oh,
guys,
my
we're,
God.
We're podcasters.
Oh,
okay.
My God. Yeah, just the way that works. Sorry, take it away.
Okay, so that's the energetic shadow. The sexual's shadow is the shadow side for a sexual type is that they get too focused on the genitals and too focused on the orgasm and too limited to the definition of what sexuality is. They're missing the rest of the journey, oftentimes because they're so focused on getting to the end goal of the orgasm. Mm. Oftentimes sexuals say, well, what? It's all good. We're having an orgasm. When their partner brings up that they want, you know, something more in the bedroom, everything else is a little bit too complex for them.
Mm. Too complicated.
And this felt, I mean, this is real. And I think maybe, you know, we put a lot of pressure on orgasms in general in sex. And so I feel like this is something that parts of this I was like, everybody can relate to, because I think this is culturally what we have described sex as. And we say that about the sexual type, that it's like nudity, genitals, orgasm, like what we as a culture are like, this is sex. And I think oftentimes people deem whether sex is like good or not. Sometimes like it can be oversimplified to like whether or not people came. And I think that's an oversimplification for a lot of people.
Totally. And I think it's ingrained even beyond sex. Like, I just think it's the way that we think about events and things that we do, like the arc of a story. Like when you're in elementary school and you learn about what's a story, if I'm going to tell a story, it has a beginning, a middle with like rising action, and a climax, and then an end. And we're taught that like it's not a good story if it doesn't have those things. And so like, you
damn dude, that's it.
It's super ingrained, like, to have this.
It's not a good story if you don't come.
Well, and like fireworks shows, like there's always a grand finale, like final episodes have to be really big. Like, there is something where like we're like inserting orgasms in other
places. Sexual like orgasm, but like, oh my god. Why have I never thought about, like, climax, like, being, like, did you climax, being related to, like, the climax of, like, every narrative, show, or event?
The plateau, like, that's both sexual and literary. It's a phase in, like, the chart of arousal and also the chart of a story.
Damn!
The inciting incident.
So ulcers really are about sex. Don't make me go on. Wow. Damn, dude, that's some shit. Like, that's, I'm finding that oddly, like, really enlightening.
It's pretty riveting to me right now, yeah.
Yeah, shit. Okay, okay. Whew, okay. The kink shadow type, ladies and gentlemen. The shadow side for the kinky type is tied to the sense that what turns you on is taboo and you can feel shameful about it. And I like this because I kind of felt like, and I'll read the rest of this, but I'm like, I'm thinking of Erica, and I'm like, I don't even know that she like felt shame about it, but that maybe like some things like you didn't know because you didn't explore, or maybe it felt embarrassing to ask for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's lots of things that feel embarrassing that like maybe I'll ask for like when I'm older. I don't know.
Listen, y'all, there's no
That's
time
for
like
me
the present.
To know, okay. and for us to move on from.
Yeah, it's you almost said and for you to find out, and then you were like, that's not what I mean. Okay, so listen, things that can feel shameful about, all right? And it's like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. So then shame can come up, and that can prohibit you from fully enjoying the pleasure. An interesting place here is that the shame can be a part of the turn.
Yeah, like the shame is the arousal, and so it's like, it's very cyclical.
Yeah, but it can also be part of the shadow if it's inhibiting you.
Sure.
So if it's something that's like, I can't do this thing, or I can't get it out of my head because I'm thinking about how naughty this is, then it can be an inhibitor to the turn on. Which I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, too distressing. Yeah.
And for anybody, just generally, as you've listened to us, you know, call out these types and you're like, I want to know about this. And you're like, how do I figure out my primary erotic blueprint type? There's a quiz. You can find it via Goop, but also a bunch of other sites reported on it. If you just Google erotic blueprint,
That's
I think
what
you can
I did.
Pretty easily get to Jaya's, you know, site and find it there. Goop will link you to it. I think fucking Newsweek will link you to it. And
Netflix will link
comes
you
up pretty
to
quickly.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody will take you to it. So there's a quiz. But with that said, Jaya also says, like, if you're trying to figure out what your primary erotic blueprint type is, she says there's also an embodied practice, which I think is even better, which I'm like, yeah, from watching Erica and Damon, I'm like, I can see this. And so she says you can learn from your body what it is that your body likes, because there's what your mind says and then there's what your body says.
Because the body keeps the score. Yeah.
Body keeps the score, baby. That's right. Because she says sometimes it seems like they're at odds. I find most often with the kinky types, it's like, oh no, I'm not kinky. And then we get onto the table. We have a game called the AB game where you can just go through the body and figure this out. It's always a surprise for people when they think they're one type, but they've just never explored, like, I've never explored energetic. And then all of a sudden, we explore energetic and a whole new world gets opened. That's Damon on this show. Until we try it, we sometimes don't know what our bodies love. And I think that that's super compelling and like a good argument or reason to explore sex in any capacity, because I did think that, well, I'm like, yeah, sensual is like, feels like on the nose for me. There were other parts of this that I was like, I don't know. I was like, am I energetic? Do I have a kinky side? And I'm just like, I don't know if that's just anything I haven't really messed with.
Well, and watching Erica on the table, like with all of the different touches that she's receiving, like from all the different materials and hands and things, like I don't feel confident that I know how I would react to all of that. So that tells me that like there's more to explore there.
100%. And I mean, I think that's like exciting in some ways because, you know, those of us who too are like, you know, if you're in a long-term relationship or you are at an age where you're like, oh, I feel like I've figured out my sexuality in a way that I didn't know in like my teens, my 20s, whatever it was, there is like certainly room for growth in just like anything. I think it's enlightening for it to feel like there are more tools and more things to learn about. And sometimes you don't know about what there is to explore until it's been named.
I felt that way very much about this. Like there were new paths all of a sudden in what was previously just a jungle.
Yeah. And I think that I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. And it also, I think the way that things were spoken about made them feel very unintimidating.
Totally.
And while you and I are both like, I don't know if I would like be in a room with a practitioner doing these things physically like these folks were with Jaya, I did appreciate the amount of like levity and like lack of seriousness or like austerity that she brought to any of this, and that things were like, it felt like playful, but like not too playful in a weird way. You know what I mean?
It was like desexualized as much as possible, but also comfortable. Yeah. While being totally sexual.
Yeah. While being totally sexual and requiring like wild vulnerability. But it was cool. And I was like, damn, I was like, there's a lot there that I like probably haven't even ever touched literally or figuratively. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
I do.
So one of the questions posed to Jaya is, what's the journey like once you figure out what your primary type is? So now that you're like an expert like me and Jamie and know everything. So Jaya says that the next step on the journey is learning how to feed, speak, heal, and expand the blueprint. She says, because most people don't know themselves, and this is exactly what we're talking about, but because most people don't know themselves erotically, or they don't know how to ask for what they want erotically, they haven't been fed in their blueprint. She says, we've seen about 63% of people report this. Honestly, I'm kind of like surprised it's not higher. So this piece of, okay, now I know who I am. How do I feed that? What are the techniques? What are the things that turn me on? What's the environment that I need to create? What does my bedroom need to look like? Little things like that start to shift and feed you on a daily basis. And you learn how to speak the blueprints. Just since the speaking is more of a subtle art, this is, you know, the artistry of eroticism. What's the body language of the blueprint? How do I embody this blueprint even further? What are the words that this blueprint loves? If you have a partner, you're learning how to feed and speak their blueprints as well. And then she says, then healing, the healing part is healing the shadow aspects of the blueprint. And she mentions Emily Nagowski. And Emily is, if she's not somebody you're familiar with, she's somebody who has done like a lot of research about like burnout and stress in the body. She's a PhD and a DMA. So Emily Nagowski talks about research on the brakes and the accelerator on our eroticism. And the brakes are these shadow aspects. The accelerator is all of the things that feed and speak to the blueprints. But if we've got a foot on the accelerator and on the brakes at the same time, we still don't go anywhere. So if you're overly sensitive and you're short-circuiting all the time, how do you build the capacity to be able to take more and more pleasure? These are some of the things that will be explored through this journey. And then she says, then finally, when you've done those things, you know, we expand the blueprint. Expanding the blueprint means learning how to speak all of the blueprints. Let's like say me. Right. Let's say you're primarily sensual and you want to be as smart as Jamie. And no, so your
Jack of all trades, master of none. Go on.
Yeah. I can't. So, but let's say you're primarily sensual, but your partner is kinky. How do you learn to speak kinky? And part of the journey is also in the expansion. So uncovering things so that we can be more of who we really are. And a lot of people who work with us end up becoming shapeshifters. So they end up evolving as Pokemon to be Jamie. And that's like the course that Jaya teaches. And she says, you know, as they go through, by the end of it, you know, a lot of people say like, oh, okay, now I have this vocabulary. Now I have this freedom. Now I have this creativity because there are no more blocks to being my fully expressed erotic self, which and I'm like,
I can't wait for the sixth type.
I mean, like when Jamie goes from Charizard to Charmander to Charmeleon, you guys, okay? Is that the right order?
It's not, but it doesn't matter. Charizard's the biggest one. Okay,
is it Charizard, Charmeleon?
It's Charmander, then Charmeleon, because it's like a salamander, then a chameleon, then a lizard.
Listen, guys.
Yeah.
I didn't do that great in biology. Okay. Or apparently Pokemon.
It's
I wasn't cool
more
on the
about
blacktop.
Fantasy than anything else. Yeah.
Okay. So one thing, and I thought this was interesting, you know, now that we've talked all about some of the stuff, you're like, okay, what the fuck? And we're talking about people being like, quote, on the table. And so they asked Jaya, you know, what is the body mapping technique that you do on the show and where does it come from and how did you learn it? Which I'm like, yeah, what the fuck is that? So she studied with Joseph Kramer, who, you know, is an amazing mentor to her as a sexological body worker. And she said that during our training that we did something called body mapping and that the idea of body mapping was to go through the body to find a pleasure map. And you can do it with yourself or you can do it with a partner. And we see Erica and Damon do
we
this
sure
where
do.
He's just like touching different parts of her body and she is like physically reacting in like unconscious ways, but she's also verbally being like, that feels good. Or like, and Jaya repeatedly through this process does like on a scale of like 1 to 5, how pleasurable is that? And there are things that people are like, mm, that's like a 2. And then there are things that like, there's one that Damon's like, it's 47. A 47 for me. It's a 47.
Thanks for remembering the number.
I know. I love it. So a lot of people say doing this with someone else is helpful, the body mapping, because they can just kind of relax right into it. But if you don't have a partner, totally something you could do by yourself. And everyone, I hope everyone here knows. And if you don't know, you know, Godspeed and practice for another time in another episode, perhaps you can pleasure yourself, not just orgasmically, right? Like it feels good to scratch your arm, you know, but I understand how like being a passive participant might feel like a little bit more helpful. But essentially she says, you know, it's going through the body and using different kinds of touch and they use all sorts of things. Because she has the blueprints and she put the blueprints into the body mapping. So for example, if you want to do different touches that are within each blueprint, what you do is you go through the body and you use the scale of 1 to 5, you know, 1's I don't like that, 2 is like meh, 3 is like good, 4 is yum, that is highly pleasurable. 5 is like, oh my God, orgasmic. And if you keep going through the body with that, it helps keep you present. One thing that I love about the body mapping technique is that oftentimes people report, that's the most present I've ever been. It teaches you how to be present and mindful in your own body. It's almost like a mindfulness meditation.
I was going to say it is how meditative.
Totally. And so she says it's almost like a mindfulness meditation, but you're rating how pleasurable things are and creating this map as you go, which I'm like, that is very cool. Like, I think that is very cool.
No, I agree.
And I understand, especially like being able to watch other people do this, how it would be meditative in some ways. And that people, it seems like getting a massage almost. And like, while it's not that, that you like, there are parts that you're like, oh, that's great. And you're just like, I'm just relaxing and like experiencing.
It's like a
this,
diagnostic
you know?
Massage. Yeah.
Totally. And so she says, take any part of the body and then go through and just touch the body. If it's an energetic touch, let's say you're using light fingertips on the back of someone's knee, you ask on a scale of 1 to 5, how pleasurable is this? And they can respond, oh, that's a 3, or that's a 1, I hate it, don't do it, it feels like bugs are crawling all over my body. She says, which some people with energetic touch do feel, they don't like it. She says, I've seen how different everybody is and sometimes how different somebody is on their cycle. There's so many different things to explore with this type of technique, which I'm like, yeah, you know what? We're all different on different days.
Mm-hmm. And a million variations of everything. Yeah.
Totally. So the last question that Goop asked our friend Jaya is, when you're doing this type of technique, do you introduce more than hands? And you will see this play out in the show, but she's like, absolutely. She says, absolutely. You can use different toys that go with the different blueprints as a way to determine blueprints with body mapping. If you have something that is really light, you know, like a feather, that could be energetic. You could do it as a feather across someone's cheek or on your own cheek. You know, how pleasurable is that? She says, I mean, right now as you're reading this, you could try it. You could take your fingertips as you're listening to your podcaster right now and go over your neck and see on a scale 1 to 5 how that feels. Then take something like the sleeve of your shirt or a piece of clothing or something that's close by and do the same thing over your neck and see on a scale of 1 to 5 how pleasurable that is, like your fingers versus like, you know, a sheet or a piece of fabric or whatever. Yeah. She says, let's take a fork, for example. You can use that in any blueprint. It could be energetic if you're doing it very lightly, barely touching, or just teasing a fork on the skin. She says, or you could take that and make it more sensual where you turn the fork over and it's flat, you know, the cold part of the fork. So it's that sensual cold and you're slowly contouring it over your skin. Or you could take that fork and now it's kinky and you can slap it on your skin and do a deeper scratch, a harder scratch for a more intense sensation. Or you could take the fork and make it sexual. And right now over your clothes... just truly a shape-shifting fork. Just go right over the genital area very lightly with the fork in a way that turns you on. Then you can shape-shift and do all those things mixed together. Boom, baby. On a scale of 1 to 5, how pleasurable are each of those? She says that's one way of using an item for mapping, but you can find things all over your house to use, and you can purchase things that are meant for it, a vibrator, a flogger, or something like a furry kit. She says they're all kinds of fun toys to play with. So I will say I want to wrap that with just watching the show. There, it's very cool, like the things that she uses, it's very clear that it's like, it's not all this like really specialized stuff. And I think in a cool way, it made things feel very accessible if you wanted to explore this kind of body mapping technique. Mm-hmm.
I agree that it was very accessible. It felt like very not scary at all.
It felt like the weird bin of shit that like your elementary school teacher would have in the corner.
Totally. That's 100%.
It was just like, here's a bunch an of shit we found drawer. Around the house. Yeah.
Jaya's erotic junk drawer. Yeah.
I really hope your elementary school teacher didn't have an erotic junk drawer in the classroom, but we can't know. Hope she had one at home. Yeah. But all of that said, Jamie, like, thoughts, general feelings about the blueprint system, about the way it was presented on this Goop series, about just, like, what maybe you would like to see that we haven't seen in any kind of, like, erotic or sexual typing?
So I really liked what I've seen so far of the series overall. And I always have, like, a grain of skepticism with Goop stuff, but, like, honestly, I liked Goop Lab, too. With this one, the only thing I could have, like, done without was the transition shots of, like, anonymous fingertips caressing anonymous skin.
Totally.
Just made me feel weird, but maybe everyone else is totally chill about it. Anyway, something for me to unpack alone.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. That didn't make me feel weird at all.
Yeah, I wonder why.
I was just like, look at Netflix trying to show bodies in an artistic way, as they do.
Yeah, no, I just like felt embarrassed, and that's something for me to figure out, perhaps.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, I really loved the erotic blueprint. I was like, just my mind felt blown open because I can't believe that we haven't talked about anything like this before, like culturally, that there isn't more research, but I'm happy that it's happening. And I do want to share that my partner also took this test, and I have permission to share her results.
Okay, didn't know if you had permission.
I have permission. It was granted. We tested the same, and so we're both shapeshifter type, which
that is so interesting to me. I am not surprised that you are, but I think for whatever reason, I don't think I would have guessed that about Maddie.
What it makes me wonder after our conversation tonight, because we took the free version, and so neither of us know like what our underneath stack is. I have guesses. I would guess that I'm high energetic, and I think she's probably high sensual.
I would have guessed that if I had to guess her, I would have guessed sensual.
Yeah.
If I had guessed.
But the fact that we're both shapeshifter after this conversation makes me be like, okay, part of the shadow is like not actually getting what you need. But like, if both of us are adapting to each other, I'm like, are we getting like the rest of our upper stack met? Like if, you know what I mean? Like, are you always adapting to like my number two? And like, I'm not doing that for you, but I don't know because we're both shape-shifting. So that's like maybe something to explore that I'd never thought about and wouldn't have been able to think about without this format. So thanks for that, Jaya and Austin.
You're welcome on behalf of both of us. No, I think that's really interesting. And I think, like, to that point, like, one of my takeaways is that I think I've, like, been given a better vocabulary for what I need sexually as, like, a sensual type. I almost feel like I've, like, archetyped myself into this stereotype of a woman where I'm like, no, I just, like, need a lot of foreplay. And, like, I don't mean to say it in that condescending. I mean,
that's
what
the world says.
Like, that's what the world
says.
You were
voicing in the world, yeah.
Yes, I am the world. But I also think that lacks like the nuance of what I really mean.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think that using that vocabulary necessarily articulates.
Well, it's not any
what
foreplay.
I want. Exactly. I'm like, actually, like, no, like, what's hard for me is being like, we're falling asleep watching a movie on the couch, and now that we get in bed, you're immediately like, let's fuck. And I'm like, what? because I just, like, don't go from, like, I'm chilling here in a completely unsexual manner falling asleep watching a movie to, and now let's touch each other's genitals because I think probably, I don't know that sexual would be, like, the lowest for me, but I think it's probably, like, you know, middle of the pack or lower, and I think I feel very faced with that, and I think sometimes if we're coming from this place that we're like, oh, I need a lot of foreplay, I think that that's, like, I think that some people can think that that means, or like it can seem like what you want or what you're articulating is like, I just want you to touch my genitals for a long time before penetration. And that's actually not what I want. Yeah. I want you to like touch the small of my back like 45 minutes ago and tell me I look pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, like it's very, I want to feel an energetic, like, mood shift towards sex before I'm even in a reclined position.
You would like a I long feel, story. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to feel like I want to have sex and I'm, like, turned on by you, by how you are existing in a wholly unsexual environment, and everyone falling asleep during a movie is not going to do that for me.
No, that's true. And something that I thought of when you said foreplay is that even calling it that, like, implies that, like, anything that happens before, like, a super well-defined dictionary, like, sex act is not sex. And something that, like, Jaya was really adamant about with Damon and Erica was, like, hey, Damon, like, no one touched your genitals, but, like, based off of how you feel and what you're describing right now, like, you just had sex. but it was like an energetic experience. And so like for you, like the ramp up of the evening, like could potentially be like redefined as all being part of sex or all being part of like the sexuality of that day, you know, like it's not like we're having sex, we're not having sex. Like it's all like one larger experience.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that is something that this has maybe given me the vocabulary and perhaps the permission to think and feel.
Vocabulary is permission a lot, too.
Absolutely it is. And I think we've expressed that about so many different, you know, archetypes, kind of personality quizzes that we've gone through that, wow, it's not just... I think foreplay makes it sound like I want to be like naked in a bed for 30 minutes before a penis touches me. And what I feel like I have permission to say after this is like, no, actually, like a lot of it is like about how you act towards me in the hours prior to any sort of like sexual touch being initiated.
The ride home from dinner is important, all of it.
Yeah, the way we're talking to each other, just like what the vibe is like. If the vibe has like sexual undertones, you know?
Yeah. Take note.
Yeah. Take note, ladies and gentlemen. I guess mostly gentlemen.
Ladies and ladies. Yeah.
You, Jamie Ryan. God bless. Well, without further ado, then, any other comments, questions, feelings, concerns before we cue our audio, our wait, our sound engineer? Who?
No. It's our musical director.
Oh, excuse me. I forgot what position we this hired live. For this season. I am so live sorry to them. Friendly reminder yet again, they, them pronouns for our musical director. Okay.
Oh.
I can't even believe that. I see them softly in the background, polishing their mallets. So without further ado, dear musical director, would you please cue the vibraphone?
Please cue it.
All right. Well, in true Why Are You Like This fashion, we are revisiting so many things from seasons past, and we will set aside briefly our favorite three choices with rules and go back to the OG marry, fuck, and kill with this verbal game.
When appropriate, you know.
You know, listen, to each their own at all times, we make the rules here. Okay, so I want to preface this and say, learning about these different types, whether you think it's all-encompassing or you learned something new or didn't learn something new, I don't know. I found this personally very illuminating, so I feel like my disclaimer for this game is that, like, I don't want it to seem like I'm being dismissive of any type because I just think this was so illuminating and cool. And
every type is valid really well. And important. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, totally. And you said it really well, Jamie, that you were like, I just feel like a bunch of different pathways just got like illuminated of things that you could be like, oh, I like didn't even know that was like a thing I could look into.
New avenues. I think it's great.
That's right. Everything's been ignited. Okay, so with that said, we're going to be killing someone. Okay, so I'm going to present you with three types, three different choices, as your marry, fuck, and kill. And you, said shapeshifter, and your partner who's tested as a shapeshifter, listen, I'm not including that, okay? We're setting that by the bounds, okay?
That one doesn't work to include, yeah.
Yeah, it feels not like the thing I want to include. So in this case, I'd like to offer you the sensual type, the energetic type, and the sexual type. As a long-term or not so long-term or ever partner, who do you marry, fuck, and kill?
I think that I would probably marry energetic. That feels like the most sustainable. Like if I can only have one, like sexual is like too like one dimensional, I think, to choose for the marry option. Like I want you to be like a little more complicated. Like please also enjoy sexual activity, but like, you know, we can get there some other ways. Okay, so marry energetic, and then I'm really not like very sensual, and sometimes I wonder if it's because I'm like not always that connected to my body, or like not always super aware of my surroundings. Like I can live in my head pretty hard. And so like being even aware of like the lighting in a room, like when sex is happening, I think is hard for me. And so
conscientious score of 3, ladies and gentlemen, on the big 5.
Like if I'm having sex, I'm not thinking about if the lights are on or not, or like what the temperature is anymore. And
yeah, somebody would be like, were the lights on? And you'd be like, I don't know.
No idea. Yeah. And so I think for that reason, I think with a primary sensual type, like we would probably not have like an amazing time together. I think it would be a harder match. And so, yeah, like we could just fuck the sexual type. That's fine. Yeah. Marry the energetic. What's your pick?
Oh, okay. So with these three, the sensual, the energetic, and the sexual, I think I was very inspired by this thought about eroticism coming from a place of like, maybe this could be an avenue of personal growth for me. Mm. And so with that into account, I want to kill the sensual type, which is my type, because I think I really understand that type.
Mm-hmm. She's and coming for growth only.
Yeah, I don't feel like, for me, like, while we could maybe be turned on by the same kind of things, I actually also think that that could lend itself to maybe being very, quote, vanilla. That maybe it would be harder in some ways to explore new things sexually together if we were kind of coming from the complete same lane. I think one of the things that's, like, exciting about sex is having it with people who are different than you, because I think it can introduce new things to you. So I actually think that like having sex with somebody who's a little bit different than me, if people are like willing to adapt and like be generous and giving, and like the same for myself, would be more actually maybe fulfilling to have sex with somebody who's different than me. In some ways, you know, I don't want somebody who like completely doesn't understand sensual, but I think if I'm going for a primary type, I think that maybe I would also marry the energetic. So this is that person with like longing and yearning. And for me, I go, I feel like this like could bleed across into life in like a really positive way. I don't know why I feel this way, but it just feels like the energetic type is like the most optimistic kind of person.
Aw, like, that's interesting. Yeah.
I just feel like there's like maybe this like air of like
a buzz
hope
about
and anticipation.
And yeah, you're looking forward to things and you're alert. I feel that, yeah.
And I think if this person's like really sensitive and then I'm very sensual, which is like sensitive to environment, I think like actually that could be like very hot and a very cool match.
That could work, I think. Yeah, definitely. And you could learn some things. Yeah, both of you.
Well, 100%. And then I think the sexual type, so this is the person that's like nudity, genitals, orgasm, penetration. I think that fucking this person and not being my marriage pick would still be positive. I feel like I want to fuck them more than once. Because I feel like if this is somebody that's very like visceral in our body, it maybe could help me get more in touch with the physical side of sex. Because for me, I think in this sensual way, like a lot of sex is like other feelings and things in my head. And that's like the shadow space of a sensual, where you're like, what else am I thinking about?
Right.
And maybe the sexual type could be somebody who helped me explore the physical side, like without the environment and my
totally
own
get
thoughts
out of your
a little
head
bit more.
And,
yeah.
A refreshing simplicity.
I don't know. I feel like all of these types, like knowing about them makes me feel more, in some ways, like more sexually adventurous, like more interested to pursue other avenues.
I feel like I have like more of a little bit of how to just illuminated paths. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Well, listen, dear listeners, whether you hate Gwyneth Paltrow and somehow stomached this whole episode, or
she's like pretty irrelevant to like this show, by the way, if you don't like her and you want to watch it. Like, she's in it very little, and you could fast forward.
You could, but in defense of Gwyneth Paltrow, because you know I always will, I think the things that she added and like
she's her additive. Vibe, yeah,
she it was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She also, it's really funny because there is like a lesbian, like two female partners, like couple in this group. And one of them, they're talking a lot about shame, and one of, and this is later in the series, but one of them is like, well, I grew up a Jehovah's Witness, and Gwyneth Paltrow just goes, oh, they love lesbians.
And they do. And you know what laugh. They do. Yeah.
It made me laugh so hard. It made this woman laugh really hard too. So like, God bless.
It's important to break the ice. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not here to defend Gwyneth Paltrow, except that's
except the that you only are.
Reason. That's the only reason I'm here. Anyway, if you want to argue with me in the DMs about Gwyneth Paltrow, or you want to watch the show, or you want to sound off about erotic blueprint feelings, or you're just like, oh my God, thank God you guys had a sex episode again, and let me tell you the sexual topic I want you to talk about next, please, dear God, come for us. And you can do so on the internet, as always, via email at whyareyoulikethispod@gmail.com, on Instagram at whyareyoulikethispod, and on Twitter at WAYLTTwits. So, with that all said, we bid you adieu, and we'll see you next Thursday.
And as always, pairs well with finger blasting, but this time pairs well with experimental finger blasting. Good night.
Yes, experimental finger blasting. God bless.